in the message tonight for you to glean from. Amen. Let's give Brother Predick another warm welcome to this pulpit right now. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Frazier. Appreciate everything that's been done for us by you wonderful people and to us by Brother Frazier. That was a joke. We're in trouble tonight. You can't get them to laugh. You can't even get an amen on hunting and fishing. Hunting. There we go. Fishing. Well, it's a start. These girls in the front have been, well, before I start, let me first bring this to you and ask you to be in prayer. A good friend that preaches for us, or used to preach for us. Hunting. All right. Maybe she was taken captive. Anyways, as I started to say, a good friend that has preached for us many years and taught intensive courses at school, Brother Tim Hudson, a couple of years ago ended up with a situation with his throat that turned into cancer. And I mentioned to you the other night that he lost his, they had to remove his voice box and put an electronic one in there. And he was making progress until recently. And, I mean, some of the battles he's been through, he's got a feeding tube. And the other day I sent him a text and said, I'm praying for it. And he kind of laughed. He said, yeah, I just coughed and pushed out my feeding tube. And so he was at the emergency room. But they saw some problems coming up. And last week or so, or in the last 2 weeks, whatever it was, they have discovered cancer again in the same area. And tomorrow he has a 7 to 9 hour surgery where they're going to remove this electronic voice box that he has. And they said that it's very dangerous. There's 3 major arteries in there. And so this surgery is supposed to take between 7 and 9 hours tomorrow. And this man has been through it. This is a tremendous man of God. Just a great man. He's got a mission in Myanmar that he's not been able to go to because of political unrest over there. And then his situation with his throat. So would you mind to stand with me tonight and let's pray for him. And then tomorrow I want you to just keep him in your prayers if you would. Father, you see Brother Tim Hudson tonight. Lord, this is your servant. Father, he's used his voice to bring glory and honor to you. Father, you've helped him in times past. We're praying, Lord, for a miracle tonight that you touch him. God, remove any of this cancerous cell in the name of Jesus. Father, we're praying that the surgery would not even be necessary. But by your grace, you touch him, Lord. And if that is necessary for him to have this surgery, Father, guide the hands of those surgeons, Lord, and be with him and his wife. Minister to them. I pray in the name of Jesus. Touch Brother Hudson, we ask, Lord, as we give him to you to oversee and to just to be there for him in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Well, these girls up front have been so kind, trying to do everything they can for us. And one of them's excited about evening service all the time. And the other one, one of them rebuked me. Yeah. She said, I've been putting those bottles of water up there every night. You haven't been drinking them. I got to thinking when they were talking about that those mosquitoes out there and water baptism. Any volunteers? Philip says, I'll try it. You know, that happened in the book of Acts, but I don't think you'll fit in this tray. All right? And we don't baptize babies, and we don't sprinkle. So I must have some other plan for this. I must. I think. I want to. I don't know if I'll preach half of this tonight and never preach the other half. I've done that a lot. Or whether I'll get to all of it. But won't you turn? You might have to come back. I just never know. Sometimes I preach my introduction, and then 2 hours later we quit. All right? Boy, this is a tough crowd. I might have to pay people to laugh. As I've got to praying and thinking about this, I'm just going to say this point blank. I think we've made things too complicated. And by things, I mean being saved. The whole Christian experience. Okay? Now, I am not going to stand up here and declare that we don't need all 27 books of the New Testament. All 39 of the Old. We need them. We need them. They really do help us with everything. But we have complicated this thing to where I think we've just, I mean, we've just right bypassed what it really means to be washed in the blood. And so tonight, if you'll turn to John chapter number 1, if I were to ask you, why were you washed in the blood? Why were you washed in the blood? I would probably get some reasonable answers like this. Well, I was washed in the blood basically so I could be cleansed from sin. And that's true. I was washed in the blood so I can go to heaven. That's true. I was washed in the blood so I don't go to hell. Brother Andrews said something about that. That's true. And I mean, we could probably go down a whole list of things, and each of them would have a grain of truth in them. But in the Gospel of John, in just a few short verses, God's expectations, God's plan for saving men and why and what he does it for is really compacted into about 6 or 7 verses. So in John chapter 1, verse 28, these things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan where John was baptizing. That just kind of gives you the idea where we're at. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh the man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Anybody know what a spoiler alert is? That's when somebody tells you what this is all about, and you can check out now if you want to. But if you read this very carefully, there are two major things that are being referred to as John, the apostle who writes this,
looks upon John the Baptist or recalls John the Baptist and his encounter with Jesus Christ. And so in this simple little compilation of verses, there are two major events spoken of. One of them is John the Baptist looks at Jesus and says, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." That's one major statement. A few verses later, John points to this same Lamb and says, "This is He that will baptize you in the Holy Ghost." Spoiler alert, you were saved to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. You were saved to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. You know what I like about these young ladies in the front? They're writing that down. This is where we have missed everything. We have gone from bringing people to church and doing all kinds of things and to missing the point. There are two things right here when Jesus came. The first one is, are you washed in the blood? John said this, "This is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." The Word of God is very, very clear. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. In fact, if we were to begin down a list of sins just to help people in this place, all I would need to do is begin quoting the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not steal. I wonder how many people are thieves that might be sitting right in this building. Thou shalt not commit adultery. I don't know who is here that might be living with somebody that they are not married to, but that is a sin. That's wrong. I mean, you can't be saved and be living with somebody that you are not married to. That is a Bible truth. Fornication, adultery, these are major sins in the hour in which we live. There is no exception with God. There is no common law marriage with God. There is nothing that says, well, God will understand and overlook this. Marriage is sacred. It is two people standing before God, and they are joined together by God, and God made it very clear, let no man put them asunder. I just got to get you to understand. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. It is not right for quote-unquote Christians to swear. Come on now. If you can't amen this, I don't know what you're going to amen. God's last name is not a curse word. Help me, Lord. The Bible says, as we read in the book of Romans, there is none righteous, no, not one. And it also says in another writing by this same gospel writer, John, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us. I'll tell you what I feel like. I feel like the Holy Ghost said, don't rush off of this, because we live in a world where nothing is a sin. It's not a sin to kill your baby. It's not a sin. I mean, I pick whatever you want to. It's not a sin to be a homosexual. It's not a sin to blaspheme. It's not a sin to kill. Everything that the Bible says is a sin has been explained away, and much of it has been explained away by the church. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Sin is still real. Sin is what will put you in a devil's hell. Sin is the reason that God's... I'll tell you why. I'm going to move on in a minute, but not just yet. there is still a convicting power of the Holy Ghost that will come down and tell you, you are not living right with God. Doesn't matter what your pastor thinks. Doesn't matter what your parents think. Doesn't matter what the church says. Doesn't matter if you've been baptized. Doesn't matter whatever cause is. Amen. The Bible tells us that no thieves are going to heaven. No liars. No unbelievers, no, if you can go down the list, whoremongers, whatever the case is, he makes it very clear that all human beings have got a sin problem. That's why Jesus came. That's why he came. And when I read this again today, John looked at or recorded the words that John the Baptist said, and John the Baptist said this, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And so tonight, as bad as your sin is, as vile as it might be, as guilty as your heart is, what John said when he saw Jesus is, would you look at this? There is somebody out there that can take away your sin. Anybody been washed in the blood? Come on here now. Amen. Jesus is standing there, and those Jews are very familiar with the concept of a lamb. For in the Old Testament, from the very beginning of time, God has chosen a work called substitution, that instead of Adam and Eve dying, some animal gave his life in place. And God let them walk away, and something else paid the price for sin. Throughout the Old Testament, there are offerings that are offered at the tabernacle, bullocks that are brought, lambs that are brought. In fact, you're familiar with the departure from the land of Egypt in Exodus 12. And somebody mentioned it the other day, that every house that was going to be spared the judgment of God had to have a lamb that was slain, and the blood was put upon the doorpost of the house. And so when John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God," Israel knew what he was talking about. It might not be real familiar to us, but this Lamb of God comes to do something that every person must have if you're going to make heaven. He comes to take away sin. He comes to take away sin. Now, I want to illustrate this in a couple ways, if the Lord will help me. Now, all these ladies have been so good, and I'll just pick on my wife here, because I am going to take something. This is her cell phone. It's going to represent for this moment sin. And so if we have sin, and everybody's got a cell phone, I'm just using it as an illustration. If we have such a thing called sin, the Bible says of Jesus that he came to take it. Now, if I stop there, here's what you're going to find out. Well, he took it. But what did he do with it? Where did it go? How did he deal with it? How do I know it's gone? In fact, Brother Peretic, what I see right now with you preaching up there is you're holding your wife's cell phone, and you said it represents sin. So every time you wave your arm, I am reminded of my sin. I am in a place where no matter what happens, I will always have this in front of me. This is my sin. And the reason you're seeing this is because I didn't say it like John the Baptist said it. I said he took sin. But John the Baptist said of the Lamb of God, he came to take away the sin of the world. There's a difference between taking something and taking it away. And so if you don't understand that, there's a story in the Old Testament in Leviticus 16 that I love so much. I'm probably going to need a couple of volunteers to help me in just a moment. But part of the redemption plan of Israel in Leviticus 16, they would sacrifice, if I got it right, about 5 animals. And 2 of them were goats. And so I need a couple of goats. So I got, all right, I got volunteers everywhere. Man, all right, I need you goat and you goat. And so what would happen is they would bring these two goats as part of these this offering to the priest. Just stand right there, both of you, if you would. All right, and so what the priest would do at this point would be to cast or draw a lot. And one of those lots would fall on one goat, and then the other one would be there. One of those goats was taken to the altar, and one of you is about to die. Any volunteers? I knew it was going to get tough. If I had a coin, I'd flip a coin. You're picking him. She picked you. Why does she not like you? Anybody have a coin? You have a coin? That's a long way to go for a coin. Wow. All right, I'm going to flip it. I didn't catch it. It's oh, here it is. All right, call heads or tails. Now you realize whoever gets it right, you're dead. Okay? And so, there it goes. Whoever is heads. Is that you? They would take that goat. Go ahead and sit down. Sorry about your luck, son. And he would be sacrificed. But there's such a story here that is so tremendous. Where's my 318-pound guy? I might need you in just a minute, so get ready, okay? All right? And so what would happen next is that priest would lay his hands on the head of that goat. And this is what the priest would do. Adultery, fornication, lying, stealing, blasphemy, unforgiveness, bitterness, gossip. I don't care what it was, but according to the word of God, he would lay his hands on that goat and he would begin to confess the sins of the entire nation of Israel. He'd call them out by name. And one time, as he got done of that great list of sins, the Bible says he would call for what is known as a fit man, a 318-pound hunk of muscle. And come here, will you help me for this? All right. He would call for a fit man. And by way of illustration, that fit man would come at the beckon of the priest. And that fit man was given one responsibility. Here's what I need you to do. I need you to take this goat, and I need you to take it as far out into the wilderness as you can go. I want you to go so far, and then I want you to look around. I want you to look behind every bush. I want you to look behind every rock. I want you to look up in the trees. I want you to look down in the valleys. And I want you to make sure there is not one living soul out there. Are you hearing me? He said, I want you to take that goat. And when you get to that place, I want you to go a little further. The Bible does not say this, but tradition does, that priest would take that goat. Go ahead and take that. That fit man. He's called a fit man. That's why I picked him. A man that is big enough to handle him. A man that is bigger than the goat and bigger than the sin and bigger than the problem and bigger than the troubles and bigger than the guilt and bigger than the sorrow. Here's what I want you to do. And I know you can't do this all the way, but that man was to take that goat. I want you to march him out the back door. And I want you to wait just for a moment. And then when I tell somebody to beat on that door, I want you to come back. But your only job in this is to carry that goat to make sure that thing gets out of here. You'll have to carry him, lead him. Go ahead with him. And so Israel would watch as all Israel would begin to rejoice. That's my sin. That's what I did. That's what I was doing. I used to be what that goat is carrying. Amen. That carries everything. And so they would stand there and they would wait. Tradition says they'd take that goat, and well, the Bible says first off, it had to go to a place that was uninhabited. But tradition says that fit man would take that goat and he would throw it off a cliff somewhere. And all Israel would watch as at the altar the priest would shed the blood of another animal that would cover the sins of man. And when that was done, Israel would start looking. I wonder what happened to that goat. I wonder what happened to that goat that had all my sins on it. And so at some point, there'd be a messenger outside, and he would watch. Somebody pound on that door if we need to. And they would begin to look. Somebody would say, hey, I see a fit man coming. I see a strong man coming. I think I see him. I'll tell you what. Yeah, that's him. That's the guy right there. Come on. I tell you what I want to do here. I want to look behind him. I'm going to check it out here. What happened to that goat? What happened to that goat? Where's the goat? He's gone. Are you sure that goat is not here? I'm going to look everywhere for that goat. I'll tell you what I read in the book of John was, behold, the Lamb of God that does what? He taketh away the sins of the world. He doesn't just take them. He removes them as far as the east is from the west. Hey, come on here now. You ought to lift your hands and praise and glorify God. If you've really been saved, He has taken your sins away. He remembers them against you no more. That's why I read in the Bible, such were some of you, but you are washed. You're sanctified. He has done something more than just say, don't worry about it. He took your sin in His own body. And Jesus didn't take it out into the wilderness. He carried it up to an old rugged cross. And my Bible says this, He became sin for us who knew no sin. Why? That we might be made the righteousness of God. I'm telling you why you were washed in the blood. Because He cannot dwell in a heart that is filled with sin. He cannot come. The Bible says in Revelation 3 and verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. He will not come in to a filthy heart. He will not move into a place that is cruddy. He will not move into a place that is filled with sin. And thus John said this, behold the Lamb of God that does what? He taketh away the sins of the world. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing flood? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Anybody blood washed tonight? Anybody say, hey, I'm so glad my sins are gone. He has removed them as far as the east is from the west. I have been born again. I am not the person that I used to be. I have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. One more time, let me see your hand. I'm saved. He has taken my sins away. I like Revelation 1:3, I believe it is, where the writer John again says, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. He washed you. He cleansed you. In John chapter 13, I believe it is, maybe around verse 10, Jesus decides, I'm going to wash the disciples' feet. And Peter looks up at him and says, you're not washing my feet. And Jesus looks at him and says this, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me. If you have never been washed in the blood, you are not saved. If you have never been washed in the blood, you are not saved. You need to get saved tonight. One more time, you can't live in sin and claim to be saved. And so I'm going to preach the whole thing tonight. But if you're not saved, you need to get washed in the blood tonight. The second part of this that John said is this one that is called the Lamb of God is going to baptize you in the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you why you were washed in the blood right now. You were washed in the blood that your body might become a temple for the Holy Ghost. You were washed in the blood so that the Holy Ghost could come and dwell in you. You were cleansed to become a temple of the presence and the power of Almighty God. He will not dwell in a sinful vessel. He will not dwell in a dirty vessel, but he will wash that vessel. And then the second thing that John says is that Lamb will baptize you in the Holy Ghost. I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but in the story that John unfolds as Jesus comes to be baptized in water and he's just acting in obedience, the Bible says this, that when he came up out of the water, there was a voice from heaven that was the voice of the Father that said, this is my beloved Son. And then along with that, the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove immediately went to where Jesus, the Lamb of God, was. I want you to understand this, and I write this down, young ladies. The dove is attracted to the Lamb. Are you getting this? The dove is attracted to the Lamb. The dove represents the Holy Ghost. The Lamb is Jesus Christ. And when he came up out of that water in obedience, amen, the heavens opened and the Holy Ghost immediately began to descend from heaven. Uncalled for, unbegged for, unprovoked. I mean, the heavens just split wide open and where the Lamb was, the dove came. Are you hearing me tonight? I said, where the Lamb was, the dove came. The Lamb is Christ. If you've been washed in the blood, it is the Lamb of God that has taken up residence inside of your being. Oh, God, help me tonight. And I'm going to tell you what, that dove of the Holy Ghost knows where that Lamb is. That dove of the Holy Ghost wants to be where that Lamb is. I'm trying to get you to understand that dove is attracted to what has been washed in the blood. Oh, I wish you could get this. I think we've made it so difficult. I've seen people around the altar, oh God, please fill me with the Holy Ghost. Oh God, I beg you. I beg you, Lord, please give me with the Holy Ghost. If you don't give me the Holy Ghost, I'll die. And then they come over there, there's a bounce in their head again. I need the Holy Ghost. I need the Holy Ghost. I've seen people do all kinds of stuff. At a youth camp once, and the floors were slanted toward the front. The altar was there. Preacher got up and said, I remember when I was a boy, came to camp, rained. Rain came down the hill, poured down across the floor, came up here, made a big puddle on the altar. I rolled around the puddle, got the Holy Ghost. Wouldn't you know it rained? Wouldn't you know that boy got up and ran to the altar, rolled around in the puddle. What happened? You said it today. Nothing. The Holy Ghost is not attracted to you rolling. Roll if you want to, but that's not going to get him here. I know there's others that lay their hands on people and they fall out. Wow, would you look at me? I fell out. The Holy Ghost is coming. No, sir. The Holy Ghost is attracted to the Lamb. Are you getting this? I'm telling you right now, when Jesus came up out of that water, the Lamb of God is standing there, and heaven opens, and the dove from heaven comes and says, that's where I want to be. That's where I want to be. I want to be where the Lamb is. I want to be where the Lamb has worked. The Holy Ghost wants to come where the Lamb is. Oh, I hope you're getting this. Maybe you need to look at somebody next to you and say, the Holy Ghost wants to come where the Lamb is. Holy Ghost wants to come where the Lamb is. The Holy Ghost wants to come where the Lamb is. The dove is attracted to the Lamb. The dove is attracted to the Lamb. The dove wants to be where the Lamb is. Man, I hope I don't make a mess of this. But when I preach about Jesus, He's so much more than I can understand. As I read about Him, I believe He was conceived in the womb of a virgin by the dove, the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and that holy thing shall be called the Son of God. And so for 30 years, the Lamb is living 100% God and 100% man. Don't ask me to explain it. It's right. He's not 50-50. Simple theology says this. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And anything that violates that is heresy. But I'll tell you what I don't understand, Brother Frazier. I know He was all God and He was all man, but up until this point where the dove descends and rests upon Him, you don't read the words that you read in Luke 4 in verse number 1 where it says, and Jesus being filled or being full of the Holy Ghost. I hope I'm not losing you. That dove is attracted to that Lamb. If you've been washed, the dove is waiting. The Holy Ghost is waiting. I've seen people, I'll tell you what, I read that and I shake my head when it's in Luke 4, it says Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost. Let me just tell you the best I can. And if I'm wrong, I will take whatever correction I must to get it right. But the God side of Him was God. But the man side of Him had a void in there that could be filled with anything. And Jesus, knowing the Father's plan and the dove recognizing that's the Lamb, wanted to fill that. The Holy Ghost wants to fill you. The Holy Ghost does not want to fight with you. He wants to fill you. And so when I look at that picture, I find in the Bible that John says He is going to baptize you in the Holy Ghost. Now, anybody been baptized in water? Raise your hand. I mean by immersion. Oh, keep it up there for a second. I don't want to embarrass anybody. Brother Kyle, who baptized you? I know I'm talking to the man. In water. Pastor Leonard Eastman. Who baptized you? Pastor Keith Larson. Who baptized you? Okay. Who baptized you? Brother Charles Mayberry. Ain't one person in this building that baptized themselves. I need a couple preachers here and one of these young boys that raised your hand earlier that I didn't get. You were over here. Come on, a couple preachers real quick. Please help me here. I need a couple preachers and you, you little guy there. I'm sorry, I don't know your name. No, you're a big guy. Thank you. I'm a little guy. I don't need a big guy for this. No, I need a little guy. Get him. I got one preacher. I need another preacher. Come on, help me out here. Don't make this difficult. We're going to illustrate what it's like. They said they're going to baptize people on Saturday. And so they would take this young man and they would say something like, what's your name? They would say, Mitchell. Mitchell what? Bailey, upon the confession of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in obedience to the Great Commission, grab him here. There'd be a bunch of water here. They would say, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Hold your nose, son. You're going under. Go ahead, baptize him. I have never seen anybody baptize themselves. Come on now. Well, I'm trying to get filled with the Holy Ghost. That's all I needed right there. Thank you. I have never seen, in conjunction with that word baptism, anybody say, watch this. I think I'll just baptize myself. Somebody or something got a hold of him and put him under something that was greater than he was. And when we came up, we said, you know what? I just got baptized. We have not understood. The dove is attracted to the lamb. He wants to come where the lamb has done his work. He wants to baptize you. He wants to fill you. He doesn't want you up here struggling and say, well, I don't know if I can do this or not. I am telling you, he wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost tonight. Somebody that's smart, tell me the answer to this. In Acts chapter number 2. There was 120 people. They were gathered in the upper room, and what were they doing? That's what they did, but what were they doing? How were they waiting? They were sitting. The Bible says that the Holy Ghost filled all the house where they were sitting. I have seen people run. I've seen people jump. I've seen people roll. But I want you to understand, it was so easy for them because they realized, all I have to do is realize if the lamb is in here, the dove wants to come. If Jesus lives in here, the Holy Ghost wants to be where Jesus is. Are you getting this? Oh, it's not that hard to get baptized in the Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter number 4, they pray, and the place is shaken. Who shook it? Did Peter shake the place? No. Did some disciples shake it? No. The Holy Ghost came down in such a way that the entire place began to shake. I am trying to get you to understand tonight, it is not difficult to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. If the Lamb is here, the dove wants to come. If the Lamb is here, the dove wants to come. If the Lamb is in you, if you've been washed in the blood, the Lamb of God has done it, and the dove wants to come. I can take you to places like Samaria. I can take you to Cornelius' house when Peter preached and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost fell on a bunch of people that didn't even know he was going to fall on them. And what Peter says is, it fell on them like it did us at the beginning. Whew. I already used one big guy. Brother Brady, would you come? And I need another little guy up here. I need another little guy. There's one right there. Come up here, Joshua. Come up here, Brother Brady, if you would. Now, I've seen people, they say, well, I ain't so sure about this Holy Ghost. I think I got it. I don't know if I got it. I might not have got it. I may have. All right? What I want you to do, Joshua, is lay right here on the floor. Lay right there. Yeah, that's a good place. I want you to stand right here. Okay, when I count to 10, I want you to fall on him. Fall on him. How much do you weigh? Don't ask. Do you think for a minute that this boy laying on the ground is not going to know that fell on him? Are you with me? Well, I'm not sure. I think I got baptized with the Holy Ghost. If Brother Brady falls on him, he gonna know it. Everybody in this house is gonna be going, something wrong with that preacher. What are you doing, preacher? He's ready. What'd I say? If I count to 10. Peter said the Holy Ghost fell on us. He fell on us. Something from heaven fell in that upper room that nobody had to question. Nobody had to doubt. I mean, those that God has said, man, you should have felt what I felt. Something fell from heaven above. Something came into that room where I was and baptized me in the Holy Ghost. Get up, Josh. I'm not going to let him fall on you. Joel 2:28 says, upon your sons and your daughters, I'm going to pour out my spirit. The Bible says this, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. This is you. Remember I told you, you've been saved to become a habitation of God through the Spirit. This, thanks to her, is going to represent the Holy Ghost. Watch what the cup does. Thank you. Hello? The cup is not struggling. The cup was made for this. It was built to do this. The cup is not running around the building. The cup is waiting. What's going to happen if I do this? Something's not working here. Something's not right. I want you to understand that in order to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, you just got to open up. You just have to open up. You just have to realize that He wants to baptize you in the Holy Ghost more than you want to be baptized. Anybody believe in this? He wants to baptize you. That dove wants to be where that lamb is. That dove wants to come to a place that has been washed. That dove wants to come and manifest himself in such a way that while you're sitting there, sorry, Mr. Drummer, I've been eyeing this picture all day. It was a little warmer earlier, but if you get thirsty later, maybe somebody will help you out another way. I'm trying to get you to understand tonight. The dove wants to come. The dove wants to come. The Holy Ghost wants to come. Spirit of God wants to come. And instead of being like this up here at the altar saying, well, if he wants to come, he can come. How about you open yourself up and say, would you just begin to pour it out, Lord? You see who's doing the work here? He is, not you. He's pouring it out. He's pouring it out. All you got to do is stay there long enough and praise Him and worship Him until the next thing you know, something is happening that you've never felt. And you begin to say, hey, I found something tonight that's real. I found the presence of the Holy Ghost. The dove has made his way to where the Lamb is. The presence of the Holy Ghost has fallen on us just like it did on Jesus Christ. Would you stand with me tonight? I want you to know that if you want to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, all you got to do is come to this altar and make sure you're washed first. Somebody's coming already. I need some musicians. Come on now. It's not hard. It's not difficult. It's not. It's not, don't you go running around this building. Don't you jump up and down and run. Amen. If you really want the dove to come, all you have to do is lift your hands to heaven and say, I know that I've been washed in the blood. I know. Come on now. If you're going to bury yourself in an altar, I don't think you're going to get it. You're going to have to open up. You're going to have to do this. Come, Holy Spirit. I need to be baptized. Lift your hands across the front of this building tonight and begin to tell him, I want this. I want the Holy Ghost. I need the Holy Ghost to come. Would you lift him up tonight and worship him? If you've got the Holy Ghost, come pray.
Send it on down. Lord, let the Holy Ghost come on down. Send it on down.
Send it on down. Lord, let the Holy
Ghost come on down.
Come on now.
Send it on down.
Anybody else? If you've got the Holy Ghost, come and pray.
Lord, let the Holy Ghost come on down. Send it on down. Send it on down. Lord, let the Holy Ghost come on down.
Lord, we need the Holy Ghost tonight.
Send it on down.
Come on tonight.
Lord, let the
I'm
Holy
telling you, the Holy Ghost wants
come
to come.
Down.
He wants to baptize
down.
You.
Send
he wants to fill
down.
You. He
Lord,
wants to baptize
Holy
you
Ghost
more than you want to be baptized.
Down. Heavenly Father, won't you hear our
oh,
prayer?
Come on.
Let your
I want the
Spirit
of God to come. I want the Holy Ghost to come down.
Let it fall, I pray, as I lift your praises
worship
to your name.
He
send
wants
it
to
on
come.
Down.
He
send
wants
it
to
on
come.
Down. Lord,
that
let the Holy Ghost come on
so what
down.
The Lamb has
send
done.
It on down.
Thank
send
you,
it
Jesus.
On down. Lord,
oh,
let the Holy Ghost
him.
Come on down.
Come on,
Heavenly
worship him.
Father, won't you hear
worship
our call?
God.
Let your Holy Spirit fall. Send down
the
power. Let it fall, I pray. As we lift our praises to your name. Send it on down. Send it on down. Lord, let the Holy Ghost come on down. Send it on down. Send it on down. Lord, let the Holy Ghost come on down. Send it on down, send it on down. Lord, let your Holy Ghost come on down. Send it on down, send it on down. Lord, let your Holy Ghost come on down. Heavenly Father, won't you hear our call? Let your Holy Spirit fall. Send down the power, let it fall. Send it on down. Lord, let the Holy Ghost come on down. Send it on down. Send it on down. Ghost.